We Need to Talk About Kevin by Lionel Shriver. About the book. In a series of compelling and introspective letters to her estranged husband, Franklin, Eva Kachadorian dissects her married life and her mothering of her son, Kevin, and daughter, Celia, in the aftermath of Kevin's Columbine-like school slaying of 7 classmates, a cafeteria worker, and a teacher. Worried that her son's murderousness might have resulted from her deficits as a mother, Eva probes the most intimate and shocking aspects of her inner life, her marriage, and her resentment of motherhood. This literary page-turner tackles the sensitive proposition that mothers can be unmoved by and even dislike their own children. Eva struggles with her lack of ready emotion when Kevin is first placed in her arms and with the subsequently hellish years of parenting a boy who both refuses to speak until the age of 3 and be potty trained until the age of 6 and who seems to enjoy nothing but taunting of his mother. Having dramatically scaled back on her satisfying and profitable career, Eva becomes a stay-at-home mom who discovers that her son, while seemingly slow, is whip-smart and vindictive, and cunning enough to play for his father with disastrous results. We Need to Talk About Kevin is a searing and complex look at the reasons couples decide to have children, the parent-child relationship, marriage, and the limits of love and loyalty. About the author. Lionel Shriver is a novelist whose previous books include Orange Prize winner We Need to Talk About Kevin, The Post-Birthday World, A Perfectly Good Family, Game Control, Double Fault, The Female of the Species, Checker and the Derailers, and Ordinary Decent Criminals. She is widely published as a journalist, writing features, columns, op-eds, and book reviews for The Guardian, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, The Financial Times, The Economist, Marie Claire, and many other publications. She is frequently interviewed on television, radio, and in print media. She lives in London and Brooklyn, New York. Reviews. Book list. In a series of brutally introspective missives to her husband, Franklin, from whom she is separated, Eva tries to come to grips with the fact that their 17-year-old son, Kevin, has killed 7 students and 2 adults with his crossbow. Guiltily, she recalls how, as a successful writer, she was terrified of having a child. Was it for revenge, then, that from the moment of his birth, Kevin was the archetypal difficult child, screaming for hours, refusing to nurse, driving away countless nannies, and intuitively learning to divide and conquer his parents? When their daughter, loving and patient Celia, is born, Eva feels vindicated. But as the gap between her view of Kevin as a Machiavellian miscreant and Franklin's efforts to explain away their son's aberrant behavior grows wider, they find themselves facing divorce. In crisply crafted sentences that cut to the bone of her feelings about motherhood, career, family, and what it is about American culture that produces child killers, Shriver yanks the reader back and forth between blame and empathy, retribution and forgiveness. Never letting up on the tension, Shriver ensures that, like Eva, the reader grapples with unhealed wounds. Kirkus Review. The bad seed, nurture versus nature theme, updated as a teenage sniper's mother tries to understand the why behind her son's criminality in a series of letters to her not-so-mysteriously absent husband. 2 years earlier, when he was not quite 16, Kevin Kachadorian went on a murderous rampage and now lives in a juvenile facility where his mother Eva visits him regularly, if joylessly. Although she has won a civil suit brought by a grieving mother who held her parenting responsible for Kevin's acts, Eva does not doubt her accountability any more than she doubts Kevin's guilt. Is she a bad mother? Is he a devil child? The implied answer to both is yes. Eva and her husband Franklin were happily married until she became pregnant in her late 30s. The successful publisher of Bohemian Travel Guides who loves her work, Eva is more ambivalent than Franklin about the prospect of parenthood. When Kevin is born, her lack of instantaneous maternal love is exacerbated by Kevin's rejection of her breast. The baby shows, or she sees, plenty of early signs that he is different. He refuses to talk until he's 3 or toilet train until he's 6, a matter of choice, not ability. Babysitters quit. Other children fear him. Franklin, a bland, all-American type about whom Eva talks lovingly but condescendingly, notices nothing wrong. He defends Kevin against all accusations. When Eva's daughter Celia is born, the contrast between the children is startling. Celia is sweet-natured, passive, and a bit dim, and Eva is amazed how naturally she and the girl bond. Meanwhile, Kevin grows into a creepily vicious adolescent whose only hobby is archery. The impending disaster is no surprise despite Shriver's coyly dropped hints. Eva's acid social commentary and slightly arch voice only act to the general unpleasantness, which isn't to say Shriver lacks skill, since unpleasantness appears to be her aim. Not for the faint-hearted or those contemplating parenthood. Publishers Weekly. A number of fictional attempts have been made to portray what might lead a teenager to kill a number of schoolmates or teachers, Columbine style, but Shriver's is the most triumphantly accomplished by far. A gifted journalist as well as the author of 7 novels, she brings to her story a keen understanding of the intricacies of marital and parental relationships, as well as a narrative pace that is both compelling and thoughtful. Eva Katchadourian is a smart, skeptical New Yorker whose impulsive marriage to Franklin, a much more conventional person, bears fruit to her surprise and confessed disquiet in baby Kevin. From the start, Eva is ambivalent about him, never sure if she really wanted a child, and he is balefully hostile towards her. Only good old boy Franklin, hoping for the best, manages to overlook his son's faults as he grows older, a largely silent, cynical, often malevolent child. The later birth of a sister who is his opposite in every way, deeply affectionate and fragile, does nothing to help, and Eva always suspects his role in an accident that befalls little Celia. The narrative, which leads with quickening and horrifying inevitability to the moment when Kevin massacres 7 of his schoolmates and a teacher at his upstate New York high school, is told as a series of letters from Eva to an apparently estranged Franklin after Kevin has been put in a prison for juvenile offenders. This seems a gimmicky way to tell the story, but is in fact surprisingly effective in its picture of an affectionate couple who are poles apart and enables Shriver to pull off a huge and crushing shock far into her tale. It's a harrowing, psychologically astute, sometimes even darkly humorous novel with clear-eyed, hard-won ending and a tough-minded sense of the difficult, often painful human enterprise. Read-alikes. Eye Contact by Cammie McGovern. In the woods of a small town, Adam, a 9-year-old autistic boy, is discovered hiding near to the body of his classmate. They both wandered off from the school playground several hours earlier, and now the police are relying on Adam as the only witness to an appalling crime. But he can't tell the police what he saw or what he heard. Barely verbal on the best of days, Adam has retreated into a silent world that Kara, his mother, knows only too well. 19 Minutes by Jody Picot. Sterling is a small, ordinary New Hampshire town where nothing ever happens until the day its complacency is shattered by a shocking act of violence. In the aftermath, the town's residents must not only seek justice in order to begin healing, but also come to terms with the role they played in the tragedy. For them, the lines between truth and fiction, right and wrong, insider and outsider, have been obscured forever. Josie Cormier, the teenage daughter of the judge sitting on the case, could be the state's best witness, but she can't remember what happened in front of her own eyes. And as the trial progresses, fault lines between the high school and the adult community begin to show, destroying the closest of friendships and families.